You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The 2014 official draft caps in the new Browns Spring Collection are in right now. Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you here in the quarterback discussion. Always a heated one. I believe it is the single most important position for the Cleveland Browns to address and get right in this year's draft. And Mike Pettine talked to reporters yesterday and said he's going to defer to Kyle Shanahan and the team's quarterback coach, Dowell Loggins, on their quarterback rankings and to give them a lot of input in the draft room. So Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media about that position, and let's get into that right now. His thoughts on Johnny Manziel and how his skills relate in the NFL.
I think I see him pretty close to everyone else. I mean, it's obvious how good of a player he is, how funny he is to watch. And I think it does translate to the NFL. I mean, if you can make those plays in college, you can do it in the NFL. The one thing about the NFL, there's a lot of tape out there. Teams, you got to be able to do everything. Eventually, whatever you do very good, they're going to eventually be able to shut that down. You're going to have to do something else.
Yeah, you know, an interesting insight, of course, from him. And I think what jumped out at me is how closely the rankings or ratings are between all the quarterbacks. That just seemed to be the common theme, and I think you've heard the same thing as well, that the grades don't – there isn't huge, huge differential among the usual suspects that we talk about there. I think it's interesting that he's involved in the process, but to this degree, I don't for a second think Mike Pettine – would lack an opinion, a strong one, on what this team would do at quarterback. I think where Mike Pettine is deferring to his offensive coordinator and then Dowell Loggins, his quarterback's coach, is let those guys break down the mechanics. That's what they do. And then explain to him where those issues are or aren't and how they translate and what the timetable is to get it right, when things need to be fixed, right? And how right. They tie into what the offensive plan is. And I think that's really where Pettine is going. I think the notion, and I don't believe anyone that I know that I've talked with about this believes that. I know you don't. I know that Mike Pettine's sitting there saying, you guys picked a quarterback and just let me know. It's not that, but it's interesting that it shows me also on Mike Pettine's part an open-mindedness, and he doesn't have to be the – you know, like an egomaniac control freak to say, the quarterback, all these things are my call. You know, it's smart to defer to the mechanical part of it, to the guys who deal with the mechanics.
Agreed. And you spoke about the fit in the offense, and you have to understand that. As Kyle Shanahan was asked point blank, is Johnny Manziel a perfect fit for your offense?
I don't think there's any perfect fit. You know, I think we've had success with slower, non-mobile quarterbacks, and we've had success with some guys who can move. And we do similar things with all of them. The main thing is whoever you get, figuring out what they do best and trying to put them in the best situation to be successful.
That says to me, right, make a guy fit. Right, make it work for him.
And
is that what you get out of that?
He's done it. Matt Schaub and RG3 could not be any different in terms of what they bring to the table athletically as quarterbacks, and he's had success with both of those type of quarterbacks. Now, that being said, does Kyle Shanahan prefer a mobile quarterback?
It's always a positive, you know. It's either can play in the league or you can't. So I like guys who are NFL players, however they do that. Most guys do it with their arm. Some guys are capable to do it with their legs. If you got a guy who can do both, then you got a special player. But, you know, the goal is to move the chains. I really don't care how you do it.
That's great.
Right.
I don't care how you do it. Right.
Just
move
do it.
Chains, do it, win. And that's healthy. And he's not, you're right, his career, if anything about his career track record has shown us, it's that it's adaptable and it's not about my system, my way, or the highway. Some coaches, as we both know, are that. It's all about their system and then drafting to that system. My only point is, you know, find a guy, if what everything he's saying, because we haven't dealt with him here, but if everything that we know of his past and everything he's saying here is true, then what I think I'm looking at and what I'm encouraged by is that he'll know, he'll look at the quarterback's abilities that can I think, be coachable. You know, you
and
could
be
tailor,
sure.
Right, and make it work for him. And just so he's a guy who communicates, understands, and accepts. Now, the whole RG3 thing will continue to bother me because I would believe, or I'd be inclined to believe, that Kyle Shanahan could make it work with anybody. I don't know why he couldn't make it work with that guy. Is it on RG3 or is it on Kyle?
Or is it on his dad or is it on Daniel Snyder?
Yeah, so those complicated factors.
That's a very, very complicated situation there. And this one, I think, hopefully will be more streamlined. But the question now becomes, you've heard him talk about the offense, Manziel. What are your impressions of Johnny Manziel after working him out, Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, I enjoyed him. You know, it was the first time meeting him. We got to go out to dinner with him a couple times. And great guy, fun to be around, and you can see why people like him.
He's all that in a bag of chips when it comes to dealing with, you know, getting people aboard with him and liking what he's about, because he's got it, that part. He's got
right.
the whole
And you can't do that
working.
In disingenuously.
No, I mean? Right. And I'm hearing that from the Gil Brandts of the world
right.
who have been around this thing. I'm not going to say 100 years. He's about 82. But he's been around this thing a long, long time and doesn't easily just give you his not only his praise but his trust. And so Manziel knows how to work a crowd. And that's – I've never had a question about that. All my other opinions about him and what he's – why I don't see the fit do not relate to him being, quote, a bad guy. I want that very clear. Or not smart enough to understand. He's extremely bright. That's why you engage with people, because you have that capacity to do that.
Sure.
So all on those fronts, he gets it. I just – the part that it's the branding and the big circus that will come with him, I'm fascinated to see that. Whether it's here in Cleveland – or somewhere else, I'm going to be fascinated. Here we'd have a front row seat for it, but elsewhere, I'm going to pay as close attention to that as possible because I think it's going to be incredible.
It's going to be incredibly interesting, and because of that, though, like you said, you don't think the Browns take Manziel at 4. You do think they take Derek Carr at 4 in your latest mock draft. Kyle Shanahan was asked about Derek Carr.
Derek's a very good thrower. You know, he's as good of a thrower out there. You know, I had his brother in Houston, so I'm pretty familiar with the family and stuff. And he's a great guy, had a great career, and he's a good player.
Yeah, and that's the common theme, right, Nathan? Good thrower, really good thrower. The USC game is what I think most people, where they get hung up, and maybe rightfully so. You get smoked
you get
by that
scared.
Kind of defense,
yep.
Right? And in a bowl situation, it just makes it very hard for anybody to think that anything good can come of a guy from that. My analysis of that is I certainly make him culpable for some of that, but I think the offense as a whole, the Fresno State team as a whole, was overwhelmed by a much stronger opponent. Now, you could say, well, he gets accounted within that, yeah, but I think it's too simple an analysis, and when it comes to quarterbacks, I think you can find a lot of games that can turn you off to a player. I can't put all the weight on just one game.
No, that's fair, but I think what people would have liked to have seen is him handle the pressure a little bit better in that game, and I don't mean the pressure of the moment. The pass rush pressure that he saw in that game.
Right.
And, you know, it goes back to when you're stepping up the competition level, how do you do? Carr struggled in that game, whereas Teddy Bridgewater, Theodore supporters like myself would say, against Florida, he stepped up. However, he's had a big fall, a lot of that due to the pro day. What did Kyle Shanahan make of pro day workouts?
Yeah, everywhere is different. You know, there's really no certain way to do it. There's 32 organizations, and each one's its own place. You know, this is the first time I've worked out this many guys. You know, we didn't even work out Robert when we took him. But there's been times where years where I've gone and worked out some people. So it's different everywhere you go. You never can do too much. It's always fun to get to work these guys out, and I enjoyed it.
You know, I'm beginning to really dislike the emphatic conclusion that single pro day by Teddy Bridgewater destroyed his draft stock. I really hate that now. I mean, I've reported about it. I've talked about it not only on the show but for ClevelandBrowns.com, and it seems like it's an item when we do the daily kickoff, which covers a lot of issues around the NFL, and I encourage folks to go online to our website to read that and our other great stuff as well. But when I get into that and hear the views that say, you know, Mike Mayock's assessment that this is, in his mind and in talking with others, pushes him out of the first round. Gosh, that seems like a very punitive way to look at that singular workout. And then the other thing, by the way, and this is what I had in today's column. I don't know if you saw it, Nathan, but Teddy Bridgewater telling ESPN that, hey, I got a simple response. I know everybody's upset with the pro day or down on me for that. Just put in the game tape.
Well, and it's interesting. I've talked to some people around the league. Like I've talked to Dane Brugler from CBS, who was their football scout, and he has him still as his number one overall player. I've talked to Jason Lockenfor at CBS, some NFL insiders, et cetera, around the league. And one of the reasons that they think this has happened is that in many cases, the grade for the scouts, which is what teams would be based on and everything would be based on early in the offseason, certainly through the college season, and then the coaches begin to get involved in the things later on, that there is a disconnect in terms of the evaluation on Teddy Bridgewater between the scouts who have studied him all year and watched him on tape extensively and seen him live versus the coaches who are just getting familiar with him now and who maybe be more swayed by the pro day or by their visits or whatever it is, and that there is kind of a football hierarchy battle, if you will, over Teddy Bridgewater. And the fact that in many cases the coaches, for whatever reason, are not as high on a guy like Teddy has brought him down on boards all across the league. And that's why the pro day was kind of a coincidental timing as to when the coaches get more involved in their draft evaluation.
Right,
and
right.
That's kind of what pushed it down, not the pro day singularly. Yes. I listen, if I'm me, Nathan Zagura, I trust what I saw on tape. I trust what the scouts see on tape and the fact that they have him ranked so highly. And I love the fact that it seems so possible that the Browns could take Watkins at 4 and Theodore at 26, and I can moonwalk down Lou Groza Boulevard.
So, you know, this is what I'm trying to picture now. So if they draft Teddy Bridgewater,
yes,
there's going to have to be this movie night where you and your buddy Teddy, and I'm wondering if Josh Gordon's going to get invited to this, but up the road on Bagley over to the Regal Theater, I can see the three of you guys sitting there, whatever movie you guys go to watch together. I just want to know, are you ordering the extra large bowl of popcorn for the three of you to share? How's that night going to work out?
We're going to go separate tubs. I think that everybody at that point, you know, Flash Gordon, NFL leader in receiving yards last year, Pro Bowl, he certainly deserves his own tub of popcorn. Teddy, Theodore, the guy can do whatever he wants as far as I'm concerned. Then I'll just stay inside with my popcorn and just, you know, enjoy the experience. Be happy to be along for the ride.
I'll come over there and of course, tweet a picture from that.
Yes. I don't see, you know, to me, it'll just be one of those things that will be, it would be a great moment.
Your men crushes.
Together. And Dansby can come along, too, from the defensive side of the ball.
Cool.
All right, what's really cool, though, is a little fact or fiction, and we're going to play that right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The force from the beginning.